Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guy Javito, my waiting for the video portion of our show. He's back. Dr. Joel Schultz, retired as a police chief. Thanks so much for being back on the show, doctor. Also, Dan De La Cruz with Comply Technologies. And yeah, you probably recognize it from those videos where he's putting people down with the glove. And yeah, pretty amazing stuff. We'll be talking more about Dan and his product from Compliant Technologies, the glove, coming up shortly. Thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. And a shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Gulls at Gulls.com. And then we've got Dan's company, our satellite sponsor, thanks to ComplianTechnologies.com. We've been on satellite radio since Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, and we're absolutely killing it on satellite. Also, Aero Precision USA, our arm sponsor, Gunner.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com. They're allowing us to stream to over a million people right now during the live show. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. You can get cool gear like the shirt like I'm wearing, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. Now, Dan, I don't know if you've heard of Fish Orlando Bass yet or not, but Zach has got a bass fishing charter in Orlando. So this means if you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids, you know, to Disney, you now have options. So you can drop them off, let them do the Disney thing, and you can do the bass fishing with Zach. Or get this, Dan, I want you to prepare yourself for this. But they also have the option of doing alligator hunting. It's pretty cool. So you can, you're not catching and killing, you're catching and relocating. But then it just popped into my head, you know, what kind of effect would the glove have on an alligator? Yeah, I'm kind of wondering now, but anyhow, Zach at FishOrlandoBass.com, you have options. A shout out to the people that are carrying our show, Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Yates, our very own, with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, guys, we're going to go through some of these topics, pretty quickly, because we have a lot. We have three main topics. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. We have a New Hampshire school is sued over a search of a student's truck based on the fact that he was a gun owner. That's kind of scary. Then we got John Bolton being indicted by the feds. Absolutely love it. And then we have the first terrorism charges filed against Antifa after they've been designated, you know, by Trump. We have ICE arrest illegal alien who actually is a suburban Chicago police officer. You got to be kidding me. And you know, the governor and the mayor of Chicago, they're just pulling their hair out right now, right? Because it's just like, can you imagine? And then Mesa police officers shoot a guy who points a gun at them. And then we got the Oklahoma City police. They shoot and wound a suspect. And when he starts throwing boards and bricks, Florida sues California and the state of Washington for giving away these commercial driver's licenses because they just did an operation the other day. And oh my gosh, the amount of illegals that are driving trucks on the road, and I'm talking the big semis, and they're getting the licenses from places like, you know, California and New York that have dropped the standards. Lenexa Police Department, we got a story from them. Texas nurse is fired after she threatens to kill police officers. She was arrested for DWI, but then she threatens cops and their families if they come to her hospital. She no longer has a job. Toronto officer pleads guilty to assault. California sheriff was removed finally after they do a corruption investigation. And this is just assuming that we have time to cover all these stories. So there's a lot of stuff, a lot of moving parts. So don't feel bad, guys, if you don't have a lot to say about a certain topic, because we really have a lot to cover. And if we don't cover it today, you know, next week, you know, we'll have new stories that will replace these, and we'll probably never have a chance to get to them. So let me start off with the one that's really got me concerned. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. New Hampshire school is sued over a search of a student's truck based on legal gun ownership. And guys, that's pretty much it. The Second Amendment Foundation, they're the people that are suing in New Hampshire. They're challenging whether the search was an unconstitutional search. I need to have another swig of my energy drink, apparently. They're challenging this unconstitutional search of the 18-year-old high school senior's vehicle. So at least the kid was, you know, I say kid, he was 18, so legally an adult, still in high school. And this search was allegedly conducted solely because the officials at the school knew that he was a legal gun owner. Now, the case is titled Harrington, which is the kid's last name, versus Crawford. It stems from the search of his truck, and it was at the Hillsboro Deering High School. And of course, his name is Jack Harrington. So he's an adult under state law, and he owns a handgun, sometimes stores it in his vehicle. But when he does that, he's in full compliance with federal and state laws, and he always removes it before he parks it on school grounds. So according to the complaint, school authorities learned that he owned a gun, and he was subjected to aggressive interrogation by district employees, and it culminated in the search of his vehicle, despite the school officials having no reason to believe that he actually had brought the firearm onto the property or in his truck. The student and his parents, they both repeatedly refused consent to the search. And as noted in the complaint, after the interrogation in which he repeatedly refused consent to search, and after his parents were contacted by phone and they also refused to the search, the defendants, they searched the subject vehicle anyway. And guess what? They found nothing, no gun in it, but they did the search. So the SAF argues that using the student's legal private gun ownership as the sole basis for harassment and a vehicle search, it violates his constitutional rights. I'm curious to the commentary, guys. What do you guys think? And Dr. Schultz, if you don't mind, I'd like to. This is the one I was waiting to hear what you had to say about it.
Well, I think it's outrageous, and all the civil libertarians are always talking about profiling. Well, this is a great example of profiling, and I think. Schools have a lot of authority to restrict freedoms, but you don't sign off on all of your constitutional rights when you enter onto school property. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember from the article if this is a federal suit or not, but if these are government actors, then they're under 42 USC 1983. That's a civil rights violation. So I think the school district ought to write a check because they're very, very wrong. And if this goes on through, then we'll have a very clear precedent that you don't give away your constitutional rights to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures just because we're exercising a Second Amendment right, and then we have to give up our Fourth Amendment right.
Now, Chief, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are actually chief at a university police department too. Is that correct?
I was, and had a brief tenure as director of safety for a K-12 school district as well.
So adds a little bit of credibility to what you're saying. So appreciate that. Dan De La Cruz.
I agree with Dr. Schultz. These guys need to be hit hard so that there's a precedent set in the future. So this silliness just needs to end. They're going to think twice before doing something like this again. Across the country.
Could you imagine if that was your kid? I mean, look, he's 18. I'm not really big on parenting adults. You know what I'm saying? So I know they called the parents. I'm not really sure. Maybe they were hoping they would say yeah or talk the kid into allowing the consent, but the kid's an adult. So he's technically responsible for making these decisions. But even if it was my kid, 17 or 18, I would be livid. Oh my gosh. I would be so upset.
You know, there's a legal doctrine called in loco parentis, which says that schools are basically the parent for the child when they're in their custody. But this 18-year-old thing, I agree with you. I hate it when adults, which, you know, by law there is 18, are treated like kids. And talking to parents, there are privacy laws that protect kids from providing information to parents. I don't think this is a FERPA circumstance, but as we've affirmed, I hope this sets a very clear precedent that our two-way rights don't disappear. And I'll pull the old boomer thing where, you know, when I was in school, all the kids had shotguns and rifles in their, you know, pickup trucks anyway, but I know things have changed.
I agree. Thank you, gentlemen. I agree with Dan. I hope they get hit so hard that no one even is tempted to do this again. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. John Bolton finally indicted by the federal investigation over classified documents. You know, this guy has just put so much distraction for President Trump. And he's generally, I don't believe a good guy. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton is finally, and we've been looking for this. He was charged on Thursday in a federal investigation of the potential mishandling of classified information. Of course, he wrote a book there's been allegations that he released classified information in the book, and they've long thought that he had classified information. Of course, he's been very critical of President Donald Trump. So the indictment follows an investigation that became public in August when the FBI searched his home in Maryland and his office in Washington, D.C., and they were looking for classified records that he may have retained after his tenure at the Trump administration. He served as President Donald Trump's third national security advisor. Trump did go through some people in certain roles. He's done a much better job during Trump 2.0, picking people to be in charge of different things. And it said that he was the national security advisor for over a year before he left in September of 2019. Guys, we're coming up on our first commercial break, so stick with us. We'll get back to this article when we come back. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, as police officers, you know, we buy gear from a lot of different sources, right? And then when you throw the online option, it's almost like limitless. But I want to remind everybody about what's really important: supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And we're not done, guys. They're going to do you one better. They're going to give you, or they gave me, a gift card code that I'm going to give to you, and you can get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. It's Radio15. So type in Radio15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. What an amazing opportunity. And they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they'll be your new best friends. You know, we give away a couple every week on the show. So again, that is Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. Of course, that is Dan's company, and we all know about the glove. And they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, and that stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you did hear that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already gone to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief, and also Dan Telegruz with Compliant Technologies and The Glove. We left off talking about John Bolton finally being indicted, the former advisor for President Donald Trump. And, you know, I kind of left off talking about the indictment follows an investigation that became public back in August when the FBI searched his home in Maryland, his office in D.C., and they were looking for classified documents that he may have retained when he was Trump's security, the national security advisor for over a year before he left in September 2019. And during the searches, they seized multiple documents that were labeled classified, confidential, and secret from his office. And unsealed court filings are showing this information. And some of the seized documents reportedly concern weapons of mass destruction and national strategic communication and the U.S. mission to the United Nations. And so the current charges they're saying are stemming from that investigation that started actually prior to Trump's second term. And the case is being filed in Maryland by a career U.S. attorney. And anyhow, so that's where we're at on that. I know a lot of people have been waiting for that indictment, so I'm glad that it's finally come to fruition, and we're getting rid of some of these bad actors and showing consequences for people that are doing some bad things. So if there's no commentary on that, I can move on to the next one, because we do have another main topic here. So this next one, at Tampa Free Press at TampaFE.com, first terrorism charges filed against Antifa suspects in the Texas ICE facility attack. This is the first, but I suspect many are coming. Following the designation of Antifa as a domestic terror organization by President Donald Trump, and this is why he did it, the FBI announced on Thursday that terrorism charges have actually been brought against suspects involved in the July 4th attack at the Prairie Land Immigration and Customs Enforcement Facility that's in Alvarado, Texas. And they have Director Kash Patel talking about the charges. He said it's a first for the U.S. Department of Justice, the DOJ, talks about, well, he posted this on X, that FBI arrested Antifa-aligned anarchists, violent extremists, and terrorism charges have been brought against these people for the July 4th Prairie Land ICE attack that happened in Texas. He noted that under President Trump's new authorities, that they've actually made over 20 arrests and that no one gets to harm law enforcement. And the July 4th ambush, just to refresh memories on this, at the ICE Prairie Land detention facility resulted in one officer being shot and he ended up being injured. And then Homeland Security reported that nearly a dozen violent assailants equipped with tactical gear and weapons, they attacked the facility. 11 suspects were arrested in connection with this incident. So, wow, I don't have any sympathy for these guys and the serious charges that they've accumulated. So if there's a commentary, yep, Dr. Schultz, go ahead.
You know, when we think about terrorism, as we began to define it a little more clearly after 9/11, the choice of target is symbolically important. The choice of the date, this one of these attacks happened on July 4th. And the purpose is to disrupt and dismay and discourage. So all of those things were true in these attacks on ICE. And these are not lone wolf actors. They're not spontaneously violent. You know, we think about these riots and disturbances around the country that, oh, they just sprung up. No, they're organized with paid actors and it's not spontaneous. And so I think the terrorism definition is very appropriate. And the fact that these are organized attacks needs to be as aggressively enforced as any other organized crime type of activity.
Well, thanks, Chief. I agree. Dan De La Cruz, what do you think?
Same thing. I mean, I'll follow suit with what I said before. These individuals need to be held to the highest authority and fined at the highest amount or imprisoned if possible, so that these paid actors will realize that it's not worth the payday anymore. And anybody who really wants to get involved, you know, I'm not against people protesting things, but when they plan on it and they're going to be physical and they're purposely going against the authority that's out there, they need to pay. There's got to be a consequence. We've got to hand down a consequence so this will stop.
While we're on this, you know, and I know we're talking about paid protesters and stuff. You know, these guys, you know, some of these people move from city to city. They're getting paychecks, and I know that they're following the money trail because there's a serious issue with this, because you wonder, the people that are professional protesters, how in the world are they putting, you know, food, you know, on the table? But if you're, you know, the optics of going 10, 15, arresting people and grabbing them, they're never pretty, right? And this is what they want. They want it to look ugly, so they want to be able to get their payday, right? They want to be able to sue the agency, the jurisdiction, whatever, and they hope the optics look bad to help further, you know, their agenda. But I'm going with this is the CD3, you know, the glove. I mean, what a perfect tool. Not that it's always going to look pretty, but it's about as pretty as you can get when you're grabbing a bad guy. And every thought of whatever they have planned in their head when you grab them, it's out the window. If he's saying, I'm going to run, I'm going to punch, I'm going to do that, it is completely out of their head when they're grabbed with the glove. And so I just encourage our federal partners, and even now we've got local law enforcement that's being recruited to enforce, you know, federal laws and stuff. Guys, this is just a perfect tool for you. And as Dan, I'm sure you would agree. I know you're talking with a lot of agencies right now, and maybe there's people out there. I don't know how it's possible, but maybe there's some people out there that are not that familiar with the glove or how it can be used or how you can have it, you know, on your hand and still operate a firearm and get in the trigger guard and pull the trigger and do all these things that you can normally do. The glove does not prevent you from using any of that. So there's really no excuse for not having it. So it's just at this point, the device will sell itself, in my opinion. It's just educating the people that it exists, because we're quickly getting to the point to where if you show up in court and you've put your hands on a bad guy, or maybe even have to shoot a bad guy, and you didn't have the glove, which would help prevent you from escalating to that point, you're going to be writing checks like the chief talked about, writing that check. You're going to be writing checks because, you know, you didn't spend the time or the little bit of money, you know, which is a lot less, in order to get the glove in the first place.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chip.
Well, guys, Well, guys, we got 30 seconds here, so I'm just gonna whet the appetite for the next story here. And I've been holding this one. ICE arrest illegal alien sworn in as a suburban Chicago police officer, Pritzker, Illinois. Got to be kidding me! I can't wait to cover the story. So, the keeper seatbelts on, guys. It's gonna get good. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that now you can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR-308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We are joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, former police chief, and also Dan Dela Cruz with Compliant Technologies and The Glove. And we're at foxnews.com right now. ICE arrest illegal alien sworn in as a suburban Chicago police officer in Pritzker, Illinois. Of course, Pritzker's the governor. He's been given, him and the mayor of Chicago have just been given Trump a hard time about having to bring in the National Guard in order to protect United States citizens that are in Chicago or that are visiting Chicago and don't even necessarily live there. And they're just giving them a ration of crap. And so, boy, talk about getting egg in your face. This is not good for Pritzker. So an Illinois police officer living in the United States illegally, he's actually been arrested by immigration authorities, according to the Department of Homeland Security. And they just announced this on Thursday. So Radul Bojevic, he is an illegal immigrant from Montenegro, where I have been. Actually, I can't believe he even left that place. But he's been working as a sworn police officer with the Hanover Park Police Department. He was taken into custody during Operation Midway Blitz, which I think we're all familiar with right now, that's going on in Chicago. It's targeting illegal immigrants living in Illinois. Well, I guess the whole state, because of the state sanctuary policies. And Fox News Digital has reached out to the police department and the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker. You know, they're trying to find out, you know, what they have to say about it. J.B. Pritzker, according to Secretary Tricia McLaughlin, and she's Assistant Homeland Security Secretary, J.B. Pritzker does not allow violent illegal aliens, Pritzker does not just allow violent illegal aliens to terrorize Illinois communities. She says that he allows illegal aliens to work as sworn police officers. And Radul Bojevic, this cop, this illegal immigrant cop, violated our nation's laws and was living illegally in the United States for, get this, 10 years. And what kind of police department gives criminal illegal aliens badges and guns? She goes on to say it's a felony for aliens to even possess a firearm, a law enforcement officer who is actively breaking the law. Under President Donald Trump and Secretary Noem, ICE is restoring law and order. Criminal illegal aliens have no place in our communities, especially on our police forces. So this guy has been living in the United States illegally for 10 years. And, you know, it's not like the information is not available in like database searches and stuff, because obviously ICE got the information and they went out and grabbed this guy. How in the world does this happen? And the significance of this being in Illinois, close by Chicago in a suburb, Dr. Schultz.
Yeah, I don't know how this happens. Every time I've applied for something, and I've applied for a lot of jobs, because I have to fill out an I-9, which is a verification of my eligibility to work in the United States. And so how these people slip through, I don't know. And this guy looks like a fine guy. And you know, not to sound racist, but you see this guy's picture and you're like, wait a minute, he's not brown, he's not you know, from South America. Well, you know, ICE has enforced immigration law on over 100 different nationalities. So you know, this idea that we're just sweeping up brown people and letting everybody else go is a myth. So it's, this guy's negligence for living 10 years as a felonious, illegally present individual is just, it boggles the mind, and there's really no excuse for it.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine the feds when they found out this information and they're getting ready to go hands on with this guy? Could you imagine? I mean, I'm sure that there were some phone calls to the White House saying, you're never going to believe what we just found out is going on in Illinois, just outside Chicago. I mean, the humiliation for the governor and the mayor. But we already know what kind of people they are and what they're trying to pull off. So, yeah.
I don't think the mayor and the governor have the capacity to be shamed.
You know, you may be right. I mean, some people just don't have the capacity. They don't have the capacity for a lot of things, and shame is just one of them. So yeah, you're right. Gentlemen, moving along here, we see we got 6 minutes before next commercial break. We have a story with a video component. Look, if you want me to take any of these videos out of order, let me know as well, please. I don't mind doing that. This very first one, it's the newest one. Mesa police officer shoot a guy who points a gun at them.
Going out.
Put the gun down. Put the gun down, police.
So they, man was shot by police who were responding to a call about a family fight in Mesa, and the police department shooting, it occurred just after midnight, according to the Mesa Police Department. So we have two officers, they respond to the scene, and the suspect comes out of the home and he points a gun at them, and then it prompts both officers to fire their duty weapons at the bad guy, who's 33 years old. Now, he's expected to survive. And on my show notes, it's a family fight call, and the officers are still pretty much in the street, but looking through the driveway, and the guy comes out. It looks like maybe like a carport area, but he's got a gun in his hand. There is some obstructions with cars parked in the driveway, so the officers don't have a clean line of sight, but they definitely see that he's got a gun in his hand, and they're giving him verbal commands to drop it, which he doesn't adhere to before they start shooting at him. But I was just kind of surprised that both officers shot and the guy ended up surviving. So thank God for him that cops are statistically poor shots. So any commentary on this one with the video component, guys? Chief Schultz?
Yeah, I just noticed that it seems like most of these shootings that we see are like blam 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 blam. You know, they're emptying their magazines, they're going halfway through their 15 or 18 rounds, and these guys, I don't know if they're trained for double or triple tap, but it sounded like three shot bursts. And I don't know what the current training protocol is. You know, for us it used to be double tap and then wait and look, or two to the chest and one to the head. So I'm just curious about the firing protocol for these guys. But it was a good shoot. You know, there was some question about whether this was a real gun or not. That's literally one of those things where you have to shoot first and ask that question later.
Yeah, not bad. Dan?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, there were a lot of rounds fired, but undercover, that gentleman was behind the car. They're on the other side of the car. They fired their rounds and then moved to a safer position to try to figure out what was going on. But whether that gun's real or not, nobody knows until it's done. So that they've got to protect life.
Agreed. Chief?
Well, one of these things that we learn when we have the audio on the videos of these shootings is getting shot apparently hurts a lot. And you see that on these suicide by cop things, you know, I go ahead, shoot me. And then they get shot and they're like, oh crap, that really hurts.
Yeah. I think you're right. This next one, Dan, I don't, it was close to, if you probably would have, I'm talking about the glove. You may have had some guys that would have felt comfortable charging the guy with like the glove or something and going hands on. So we're in Oklahoma City on this one. It's another one from rumble.com and the channel called This Is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. But the Oklahoma City Police Department officer shoots and wounds a suspect, but the dude is throwing boards, like 2x4s and bricks at the officer.
Man.
Put your gun out.
going on?
Yeah, the God is here, my
What's going on?
Die. Touch me and you'll die.
What's
touch
going
me
on?
And you'll die. You will not touch my son again, for I am his father.
What's going on, man?
You. I want to see you touch me. I want to see how much to hell hold it takes to piss you off. Because I'm going to kill you. You know I'm going to kill you. For you kill my son, you'll people will think you're bad. The hand of God is right there. Look. Look. You want to see God in fresh. Right there. Look. That's where God is. That's right. You'll today at 7 o'clock.
Why is that?
Because God is here and he's killing you all. Unless they repent. If you want to kneel on your knee, you can repent and go to heaven. Otherwise, you will die, and at 7 o'clock, you will be dead. No, tell your police department that you will die. Quit following me. I mean it. Touch me. Touch me, and you will see my son smite you. You will touch me no more, because he don't like the way you do it. For you think you guys are cool.
Get back.
You.
Get back.
Oh, man.
Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around, man. Put the board down. Put the boards, put the sticks down. Put it down. Stop.
Redshirt was transported to an area hospital for treatment. Upon release from the hospital.
So the suspect, Jason Redshirt, it's an unusual name for a bad guy. But Jason Redshirt was taken to a hospital after being shot by police. So his shirt probably was red during an alleged assault early on Wednesday in Southwest Oklahoma City. So it's at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's dark outside. Oklahoma City police respond to a disturbance call. The officer tries to de-escalate the situation. And then the suspect starts grabbing like boards out of like, I believe it was the bed of a pickup truck and then picking up bricks too. The officer pulls out his weapon, shoots a suspect. It took a while before the shots were fired. I think the officer just didn't want to have to shoot the guy. The suspect was taken to the hospital. His condition's unknown. The officer had minor injuries though, and he also had to go to the hospital. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, this is where I think that the glove may have been advantageous in the beginning, because the bad guy approaches the officer when they pull up. And the call was he had been acting erratic and threatening people. And we got like a door, you know, a door cam. And they got you can hear the 911 call go out. It's a lady, like a neighbor, watching this guy. He's just acting, you know, erratic and stuff. Cops get there. And he goes up to the cop and he's in the cop's face. And the guy's definitely, you know, he's like out there like in like space land. And he says, touch me and you'll die. That was like the famous thing that he wanted to say. And they did do the CS gas deployment at 4 minutes and 31 seconds into it. But he was close enough to where the officer, if they had the glove, he could have gone hands on right when the guy's telling him you'll die. And I think that the guy would have got the whole you'll die thing out of his head as soon as he got touched by the glove. But Dan De La Cruz, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I that would probably have been at the safest portion of the incident to make contact with him when he was that close, rather than distributing the OC on him. OC works. It does work, but it is a contaminant that the officer has to fight through too, because he's got to put his hands on him after that point. If he had put his hands on him and he had the glove on, I think he would have got a different response. But when it, but when it comes to him, you know, throwing bricks and swinging boards, somebody's got to be pretty confident and proficient in their hands-on ability before moving into a situation like that. So I do understand why he had to take a shot at him.
All right. Good point. Well, gentlemen, coming up on our next commercial break, stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and Gunlearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you've got your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, the founder, Danley Kelly, has got a deal for you. You can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief, and Dan Dela Cruz with ComplianceTechnologies.com. And, of course, he is best known for the glove. And there are so many videos about Dan applying the glove. I've seen it in person. It's pretty impressive, guys. And you guys will get to see the video of me getting the glove in January. So, yeah, can't wait. So, hey, we just got done talking about a use of force. There was a video component to it. And we had basically a bad guy goes up and threatens the responding police officer. And then they use OC spray on him. And he's still able to function and get to the bed of the pickup truck where he's got some weapons, you know, boards like 2x4s and bricks that he's thrown at the police officer before he shot, and he ends up surviving. So, Chief Schultz.
Yeah, I think the public needs to know that there is danger in projectiles. I have a good friend of mine. He's a highly placed officer in a major agency, former student, and he made a traffic stop, and the guy started throwing rocks at him. And so the officer eventually had to use deadly force and shoot him. And, you know, people would be, well, it was just rocks. Yeah, well, a rock in the head, a rock in the gun hand, just even the fact that you've got to duck and take your eyes off of a potential aggressor is significant. So absolutely justifiable shoot for somebody that's getting bricks and boards tossed at him. And, you know, you could tell immediately this guy had mental problems. He was claiming to be a god. And so, you know, traditional pain compliance things would probably not have worked. And OC is a pain plus disabling component. I think it was probably a good choice to try OC. Taser might have worked, not a contact, because that would have been a pain compliance. So, very complicated situation. You want to de-escalate, you know, the guy's out of his mind, but when it comes down to potential deadly effect of those projectiles toward the officer had no choice.
Yeah. I mean, contact with the glove, I think we all would agree would probably have been an option, but they just, you know, the sad thing is just that not all the agencies have the glove yet, you know? So it's just, you know, hopefully they'll start getting on board, you know, because I want to start covering more, you know, they have that option if they simply have the tool, you know, so.
Well, I think it's really important. And Dan explained this to me at one point, which was the education component was really important in this tool, that it's not a pain compliance. It's a distraction device that you simply can't think about resisting or making plans to escape. So I'm excited to see you get the glove too. I'm not going to do it. I tell you right now, I'm not going to do it.
Well, you're not going to do it voluntarily. Let's just get that. Let's just make sure that would be a more accurate statement.
We don't know what you're like in Vegas. You might get it anyways.
Yeah. All right. Hey, there's a couple things I want to get out. I do want to cover. There's one more story with the video component, but I want to look. We have time to get to it. I just want to mention. You know, we've talked about this to exhaustion before, but it's kind of like Bolton getting indicted. We have a California sheriff removed from office after a corruption investigation. This female sheriff would not leave. This is at globalordnancenews.com. So we're in San Mateo County, California. And it's been nearly a year of a turmoil. It's been longer than that, actually, but there have been allegations of corruption, retaliation, abuse of power, and the San Mateo County Board of Supervisors, they finally have voted unanimously on Tuesday morning to boot the sheriff, Christina Corpus, from the office effective immediately, and Undersheriff Dan Perea is now in charge. Thank God they got rid of this female that was just completely out of her league. And you know what? She just dug in her heels and didn't want to leave. And everybody and all this horrible stuff was coming out. People and supervisors and ranking officials that worked for her that were providing testimony. Then there was another allegations about some inappropriate relationship with somebody. It was just, you know, it was just bad. She should have gone over a year ago. I can't believe they let her stay in as long as she did, because just too much damage was being allowed to go on. So we're done with that. I do want to talk about this. Well, I'm hunting for the story. Here we go. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Texas nurse fired after threatening to let arresting officers die during a DWI arrest. You know, you can't make this stuff up. We had a female we talked about, and she's now eligible, guys. But she was the one that delivered the dead fetus in a cooler to her ex-boyfriend, who's now hooked up with another girl. And she said, "Hey, here's your baby." And she hands, and we talked about her, and she ended up being arrested. Now we got this Texas nurse fired after threatening to let arresting officers die during a DWI arrest. So she's in Texas. It's Crystal Nicole Tadlock. Look, she's only 35 years old. For any guys out there looking for a new girlfriend, she's 35. She's relatively attractive. I saw a picture of her. She's been terminated from her position at the Memorial Hermann Greater Heights Hospital. So she's looking for a sugar daddy, I suspect, after being arrested for driving while intoxicated. So she likes, you know, she likes to have a good time. And this happened on Saturday morning, allegedly making violent threats against arresting officers and their families. So the comments, if you're a cop and want to date her, I probably would keep that information private and not let her know, at least initially. The comments came during Tadlock's transport following the traffic stop by the Magnolia Police Department. While seated in the back of a patrol car, she told officers that she worked at the hospital's ICU for the last 7 years, and stated her intention to retaliate. And she said, they have quotes here, "I'm a expletive nurse, and when you come through my hospital, don't worry, I'll let you die." And she could be heard telling the officers this on the video. And then after a brief exchange, she allegedly adds, "All your family members as well," before being asked if she's being recorded. When an officer confronts her about the threat, she reportedly replied, "Well, yeah, I mean, you're not that great of a person. You think you can just treat me like this?" And jail staff later confirmed that she made the same threats to them. The Memorial Hermann, they released a statement regarding, you know, the hospital, saying when they heard about the incident, they suspended her and pending the investigation, but the investigation led to her being terminated. So she is done. So anyhow, there you have it. So, yeah, I'm glad. I think they did the right thing, doctor. What do you think the hospital did?
I think the block delinquent dating service is not going to gain much traction the way you present it. You know, in Colorado, we have a statute that's not frequently enough used that's attempting to influence a public service servant. We think of that as a bribe, but if it's a threat, anything that you say or do that tries to influence a person's decision who's acting in a government capacity is potentially a felony. Texas has a similar statute, and I think this is something that she ought to be prosecuted for, in addition to losing her job, is making what is essentially a death threat and a threat against family members. So it would not just a drunken ramble, but somebody who really might find themselves in that position. A police officer comes in injured to ICU, and you've got to have confidence that the medical ethics are going to be upheld, and they're going to try to save your life instead of let you die.
You know, we had that statute in Florida. I've used it personally. I will tell you, we had an officer shot with a shotgun when I hadn't been on that long, and I remember the bad guy's name, and the female officer did not engage the bad guy, and so our cop got shot with a shotgun. He had a huge hole in his side. He goes to the hospital. And a hospital worker that was related to the bad guy that shot the cop, they caught her yanking all the IVs out of the cop's body while he's in the hospital room trying to recover and survive. And so they ended up firing her and stuff. But yeah, you never know.
Was she prosecuted?
I honestly don't remember. I know that she lost her job. But I don't have any recollection of her being prosecuted, to be honest with you.
Well, I tell you what, and I'm an advocate for this. Police officers who are victims of crime don't get victims' rights. They don't get adequate prosecution. It is a vastly overlooked area of criminal justice where cops who are victims of crime simply don't get justice.
You know, the officer I've had conversations with this officer, Anthony, since that he has no recollection of that at all. He was totally clueless to what happened. So he has no recollection, doesn't even know that happened until, you know, like I told him, but yeah, that was, it's kind of scary. Yeah. So, but good stuff. Hey, another fantastic show, gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. Dan, I've enjoyed talking about the glove, and I'm hoping you've got a couple months to forget about this conversation before we hook up in January, and maybe I'll get lucky. And Chief Schultz, thank you so much. You guys both provided some insight on some of the stories that we covered today. So appreciate it. I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Rainey Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out of the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. So make sure you check that out. And guys, please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to make sure that we can bring this content to you. And our title sponsor, Gauls.com, and Dan's company, ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TubeBells.com. Get cool shirts like the one I'm wearing at our online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Also, FishOrlandoBass.com with Zach, the bass fishing charter and alligator hunting. Guys, we'll see you back Monday, 12 noon Eastern.